This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Triceptor Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Triceptor Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply,
it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to a new week here at the Superhuman Nation, and we're starting the week off with a fantastic show during the first hour. We're going to be talking to author David Waller, and we're going to be talking about his new book, The Perfect Man, The Muscular Life and Times of Eugene Sandow. During the second hour, we'll be joined by Dr. Hamilton Staple to talk about whether or not we are now seeing the end of the paleo movement. Could it be true? We'll discuss that later in the show. But first, let's get started with David Waller. Hey, David, how are you?
Very well indeed. It's great to be with you today.
First of all, I have to ask why you chose to write a book about Eugene Sandow. He is probably, unfortunately, not well enough known within the world of physical culture. Why did you decide to do this?
Well, I'd written a couple of books before, and I thought that this guy, who was one of the most famous people in the world 100 years ago, would make a really fascinating subject for a full-length study. But I have to admit, there is a very personal connection with this great man. He is actually, or was, my great uncle.
Really?
He was married to, so some family connection. It's a little bit obscure, but there's a family connection.
Okay, no, but that's wonderful. Now, I have to ask you, before we move on, are you a fan of physical culture? Do you train? Do you do some of these things that we do in the physical culture world?
Well, you know what? The answer is, I'm afraid, no. I tried to pick up some of Sandow's regime during the research of this book, and he had a system of around about 20 exercises using spring-loaded dumbbells, and I did them for a few days, and I'm afraid that they wore me out. It was pretty exhausting. They were clearly very effective, but I'm afraid I lacked the discipline.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. And now, one of the things I did not know was that Eugene Sandow was originally from Prussia. I always thought that he was from the UK because he seemed to have the greatest impact there.
Well, it's a very good point, but he was born in 1867 in a place called Königsberg, which is way out to the east of Germany. In fact, it's not part of Germany now. It's part of Russia, believe it or not. And he came from very modest origins. His father was apparently a trader. And as a young man, sort of 15 or 16, really as a lad, he ran off, probably to avoid being conscripted into the army. And he ended up in the UK, in London, and that's where he made his name and his fame.
So how did he find his way to physical culture? Was it the traditional story of many of us in this audience, where for some reason he felt slight and perhaps insignificant in life, and he found that by training his body and improving his strength that he could then qualify, so to speak?
Yeah, that was certainly one of the reasons he gave for finding his way to physical culture. I think there were two others. One, he said that when he was a boy, his father took him to Italy and showed him the statues of the ancient Romans and Greeks and so forth, and he was inspired by this. He wanted to see whether it was possible to achieve that kind of physical
perfection
in himself.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But there was another reason, which was, Germany then and indeed now is big into physical culture. And in every city, and certainly in the city he grew up in, there were gymnasiums and set up by a man called Dieter Jahn, actually. He was the father of the German gymnastic movement. And Sandow would have trained there as a boy and young man.
Interesting. So he was influenced by the exposure to the culture there in Germany in general.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
So what was the first question I have to ask, because I don't know the answer to this. He obviously had a fantastic physique, and he did, in fact, when we look at Sandow and the individuals who were influenced within his era, and then we fast forward to some of the changes in male physique as we move forward through the decades, we see that he really did look like a statue of David, for instance. His proportions, his relative leanness, and so on. So he actually did achieve his goal.
Yeah, I mean, he was. The extraordinary thing about Sandow is that if you looked at him wearing a suit, and many people saw him in his business clothes, as it were, he looked like a late Victorian or Edwardian gentleman. He looked quite ordinary. But when he took his clothes off and started doing his exercises and poses on the stage, people were stunned by a number of things. It was clearly it was his strength, but he wasn't what we might call overly dimensioned. He was very well proportioned. He had a great deal of balance, and people were astonished at how he could make his muscles flex and ripple and expand, and then they would kind of fall back and look quite normal. So, by looking at it, his own message was, look, if you follow my precepts, you too can be like me. He was a kind of everyman, as well as being a superman.
So, was he strong? Was he truly, when we look at him, for his size, amount of musculature, was he significantly strong?
Oh, I think he was. He was one of the strongest men in the world. He never claimed to be absolutely the strongest. But, certainly the tests that were undertaken by American scientists when he came to the U.S. in the 1890s suggest that he was as strong as virtually everybody out there. He could lift, he would have various acts on stage where he would lift a whole platoon of men on his back. Mm-hmm. He could do all sorts of bench press lifts. He broke various records. I don't have the details to hand, but he never claimed to be the strongest man in the world. He offered a combination of strength and elegance, I guess.
Was part of his message health, or did that just come by accident? Did he seek to inspire a nation to be healthier and to achieve greater levels of physical performance, or was that just by accident as he pursued his own lifelong goals?
Well, I think you have to see his career in stages. I mean, it all started in October 1889, when he entered like a talent competition, a bit like America's Got Talent or the X Factor we have over here. And basically, he jumped the stage on the Westminster Music Hall, and some artists were offering a big reward for someone who could prove themselves stronger than they were. And basically, he won this competition, and he did it in such a style that he immediately became a kind of media sensation. Oh. And I think you have to see his early years in the 1890s. He was busy with being a celebrity. He was busy making money. He was busy building a personal brand and kind of developing an act. And he did this for, really the best part of a decade when he was on stage every night posing and performing. And he did that in the UK, and then he came to the US at the time of the Chicago World Expo. Position was taken up by Florence Ziegfeld, as in Ziegfeld's Follies,
right.
And he was made into a huge star in North America too. So I think in these early days when he was in his 20s, he wasn't really thinking about the health agenda. However, and to your point, when he came back to the UK, a married man in 1897, he kind of decided really to settle down in more ways than one. And at this point, he opened his Institute of Physical Culture. He published a book called Strength and How to Obtain It, and he began his campaign. And his campaign really was precisely about making the population of Britain, to start off with, and then the world, fit and healthy. And that was all about following his regime.
Now, before him, there was no one that was doing this, correct? I mean, he really was the first person to start to focus on physical culture as one of the prescriptions for optimal health, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there were individual experts and strongmen, of course, who had their gyms and they had their own adherents. But he was the first one to take it to the masses. He was helped by, new media. We think about new media as something kind of relatively recent. We think about the internet. But, in those days, you had photography, you had, an international newspaper press. And the combination of the pictures of him with very few clothes on gave him immediate kind of global brand recognition, which he capitalized on. And precisely, he was trying to reach as many people in the world as he could.
Interesting. We have to take a commercial break, but when we come back, what I want to touch on as we move forward is The impact that he had through physical culture in the UK on the pursuit of health, and how one particular king saw this as an opportunity. We're talking this hour with author David Waller. We're talking about the book The Perfect Man, The Muscular Life and Times of Eugene Sandow. Eugene Sandow really is the father of physical culture as we know it today. And too few people know who he is. And if you really are a fan of physical culture and you're not clear on who Eugene Sandow is, then you must buy this book. You can go to the website, and let me get it here, victorianstrongman.com, and you can find a link there to purchase this book, to learn about Eugene Sandow, to learn why we do the things that we do today in this superhuman nation. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is one of those things I think it's going to be 30 years from now, and people are going to go, oh, damn, this didn't work out right.
He's serving up an all-you-can-eat buffet of brain food.
It's gotten worse for us who are overweight because we're now paying our fair share for things that we didn't have to before.
Get it while it's hot.
The fact that there's only 50% of the population is obese, that means the other 50% is doing something different.
You're listening to your daily dose of wisdom. Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides. Extreme Formulations is the only company with a dairy protein product with a disclosed 50% whey to 50% micellar casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It comes in 9 amazing flavors, including the newest lemon pie and butterscotch. Get free shipping on any order size inside the USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ultra Peptide 2.0 banner ad now. Canadian listeners can also get free shipping on 2 or more jugs of Ultra Peptide 2.0. Don't wait too long because this special won't last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad today. If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to superhumanradio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with David Waller. We're talking about his book, The Perfect Man, The Muscular Life and Times of Eugene Sandow. And I will say this unabashedly. I don't care what disease state you're in. You will fare better if you exercise regularly, especially the type of exercise that we talk about on this show that reaches a certain level of intensity. So let's talk about the Royals loved him, didn't they? I mean, he had two friends that were kings that really helped promote him, correct?
Well, his closest friend appears to have been King George V of England. He was introduced to Prince Wilhelm of Prussia, but he built a relationship with the King of England when he was still the Prince of Wales. I'm not sure how much of a kind of bodybuilder, as it were, the Prince of Wales was. He was notorious for being, you know, he liked field sports like hunting and riding, and he liked sailing. But he did clearly follow Sandow's regime, particularly when he was doing his kind of world tours. And at some point he went on a tour on a yacht, and Sandow's equipment was installed on this yacht. And as a result of all this, in March 1911, Sandow was appointed Professor of Physical Culture by the King.
And in fact, that upset a great deal of the then fledgling but growing medical orthodoxy. They were like, why would you do this and promote this type of thing when medicine is what you should be promoting?
Well, that's right. I mean, it was the ultimate third party, the royal endorsement in our society. You cannot get better than that. And by the way, he knew presidents as well. He certainly met Teddy Roosevelt earlier. But in the UK, it was you know, it was a really big deal, and the doctors, the medical profession, were incensed by this. And what they particularly objected to were the claims that Sandow made for his physical culture program, namely that this could make you and your diseases better by following his exercises. And they did everything in their power to get him, you know, put out of business, and they didn't achieve it. But what they did manage to do was to they targeted medical doctors who worked for Sandow, and they got them removed from the register so they could get it in that way.
Interesting. What kind of guy was Eugene Sandow? What personality-wise, if you had to describe his demeanor, was he calm and relaxed and affable and kind? Did he have a dark side? Was he a tortured soul or just an average guy?
Well, you know, he came across as an average guy, as I've already said. When he was wearing his business attire, he looked like you know, a regular Edwardian entrepreneur. I think that he was a very controlled person. People always talked about his sweetness, his demeanor. He was not aggressive. He was not violent. He was strong, but he was very much, he had it under control. Having said all that, I mean, he did have his enemies at various stages in his life, and he was actually horsewhipped in New York by a lady called Lurline the Water Queen. She was a dancer, I think, on the music hall stage, and clearly in some way they'd fallen out. We don't know whether it was a romantic entanglement or financial, but she actually attacked him when he was leaving the stage in New York.
Wow.
So that was one enemy. And then the other thing, which is, you know, what people is really striking about Sandow, is that when he died in 1925, this man, who was one of the most famous people in the world in his heyday, he was actually buried in an unmarked grave in southwest London. And there's, you know, a monument has been erected very recently, but for decades there was nothing. And his widow and his daughters wanted to have absolutely nothing to do with his memory. And this is a kind of mystery. I mean, what did he do to them that meant that they should have hated him so much?
Well, one of the things that Randy Roach wrote about Eugene Sandow and did not cover all of his life as well as you have, because he dedicates a specific chapter in Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, but then talks about him throughout the book as well.
Yep.
But he also talks about this phenomenon that is still alive today within the bodybuilding community, which really is, to a great degree, a fractured offshoot of physical culture as started by Eugene Sandow. It's more the aesthetic side of it. Not so much the strength side of it, but the muscularity, the physical form, and so on. That there is a lot of these guys, especially when they're coming up in the ranks to make money, will be lured in by what appear to be well-meaning photographers. Hey, just let me take a couple of these risque shots of you, you know. And those pictures ended up In the case of Sandow, from what I understand, and you please correct me if I'm wrong, they ended up within the then very, very unspoken about, very underground gay community. And this was seen at that time as actually a dash against him when this happened. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt whatsoever that you know, as a very good-looking man, he was considered very attractive both to, you know, to men who were that way inclined and to women. And he himself, in his kind of official persona, did everything he could to be as respectable as possible. This is the era when if a woman showed her heel
yes.
on the stage in the West End of London, that was a national scandal.
Right.
And here he was, basically taking all his clothes off apart from a fig leaf.
Yeah.
And the way that he made it respectable was by saying this is all about we're paying tribute to classical beauty. This is about education. It's about national health, and so forth. But indeed, of course, the it was a clandestine gay movement in those days. They liked the pictures they could find of him, and they circulated them. And there was a story
yes.
of people passing round pictures of him with very few clothes on to keep themselves awake at Robert Browning, the poet's funeral in Westminster Abbey, for example.
Oh my God!
But funny. I think you know, but those pictures, I mean, themselves, they were not. You know, they themselves were not scandalous. They were taken by very distinguished society photographers. Napoleon Cerrone, for example, based in New York, took many pictures of him. They were pretty risque, but they were designed really to titillate. And Ziegfeld, in particular, the U.S. impresario, was very good at building this kind of air of scandal
uh-huh.
around him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when he did his shows in Chicago and Washington, for example, he would have these kind of private audiences where senators' wives or rich ladies would be invited into a kind of private session after the show, and they would be allowed to inspect him close up and kind of prod him.
Touch
you
him,
know?
Sure.
Let's be honest.
Okay, so just think about it for a second. We've never seen physical specimen like this guy before, right? And he's catapulted
right.
into the limelight as this this man of strength and physical acquisition. And so when people looked at him, they wanted to, oh my gosh, they wanted to touch his biceps. They wanted to feel his shoulders. And I'm sure that in that type of environment, the women may have, with a giggle or a chuckle, maybe done something a little bit of humorous but risque. And that translated into, oh, you know, there's orgies going on or something like that, which weren't true. And we know this wasn't true. But what happened was, you know, the community started to pass these pictures around, as you point out. And all of a sudden he started to take on a different light that he didn't want. And that really is that he didn't invite that. It's almost like what happens today with the internet, where somebody steals your picture and creates a fake Facebook page with your picture on it. They did the same thing to him, but they were doing it in different ways.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I'll give you. Can I just read
Please.
Out what happened in Chicago? I mean, this is an account when he was doing one of these
yes.
shows, and he would say to the ladies, "I want you to feel how hard these muscles are." He told the ladies, "As I stop before you, I want each one of you to pass the palm of your hand across my chest." And the first woman he approached was too overwhelmed by the sight of him to touch him. "Oh, please," she gasped. "These muscles, madam, are as hard as iron itself. I want you to convince yourself of the fact." So gently insistent, he took the woman's hand and applied it to his flesh. "It's unbelievable," she's supposed to have said, before passing out and needing a dose of smelling salts to be revived. And even when Sandow lectured later on at Yale, most of the crowd were women, ladies, fascinated by his muscular displays.
Yeah, that's interesting, because today's women don't like the hypermuscularity of most modern bodybuilders. But back then, women saw his body as very appealing, which really is another thing. If we look at Sandow all the way up into even maybe Red Park, Frank Zane, and even to a great degree Arnold Schwarzenegger, we still saw a physique that women felt were appealing. And then this deviant physique that we see today that women don't like but men like for some reason, which is unexplainable,
mm-hmm.
Occurred. So in Chicago, did he get in any trouble as a result of that?
No, I mean, it was just good, clean fun as far as the press were concerned.
Yeah,
he didn't really get into trouble for that. It was just something the journalists wrote about. I mean, his biggest trouble came actually later in Los Angeles for different reasons, where Ziegfeld got him to wrestle with a lion, and you can imagine that wrestling with a lion was a kind of big, you know, a big item. The problem was that the lion, well, basically the lion, by the time Sandow wrestled with it, had been drugged. So it was a bit of an unfair contest, and Sandow made a fool of himself. So he got into trouble, really, for faking aspects of his act, not really for taking his clothes off.
Interesting. Yeah, and that's unfortunate that would be – and unfortunately – a lot of times a person's epitaph is not the 90% of their lives that they led in a stellar manner. It's the 10% of errors that befell them during that lifetime that people seem to punctuate. And perhaps so you have never been able to discern any legitimate reason why he was buried in an unmarked grave while his family took steps back away from him. Was there anything that you thought, well, this could be it?
Well, look, I mean, there are rumors about his sexuality. There are rumors that he had many affairs, many relationships with women. But there are only rumors. There's absolutely no proof. And, of course, you know, when you're writing a fairly serious book like mine, you're trying to find the definitive evidence, and there isn't any. And, I mean, perhaps that's suggestive. I mean, the long and short of it is that his widow and his daughters must have destroyed all the evidence. I mean, all the archives, all the letters from tens of thousands of fans and all the business records had all gone. But I mean, so his sexuality is one possible explanation. But the other point is that Sandow lost a lot of money. Because of his German origin, along comes the First World War, and it became very difficult for him to operate, you know, in the same degree of visibility and respectability as before. And in fact, the US press reported rumors that he'd been executed at the Tower of London as a spy, which was obviously complete BS. But the point was, you know, for many years during the First World War, he couldn't really sell anything. He invested before the war in a big production plant to produce food supplements and in fact cocoa in particular.
Wow.
And you know, and that took him well out of his depth. I mean, if we think about it in modern business terms, what he was really good at was branding. He lent his brand to many different types of products. What he wasn't good at is food manufacturing. So the net result is that come the First World War, that business went bust, and he couldn't sell any of his other fitness programs because of his German nationality. And so he went bankrupt, in essence. And his family, having been incredibly rich, were in reduced circumstances by the late teens in the 1920s. So I think that that's got something to do with it as well. He must have, you know, they must have felt very let down by this.
Wow, that is tragic. But you know what? There are so many stories of that era just like this where there was a, you know, reversal of fortune. And it's quite sad. It really, really is. We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I've got lots more good questions. We're talking with David Waller. The book is The Perfect Man, The Muscular Life and Times of Eugene Sandow. You can learn more about it by going to VictorianStrongman.com, where you can not only read about Eugene Sandow, but you can also purchase the book, and you should purchase this book. Everybody should know about Eugene Sandow, because every day we go into the gym and we do things that he brought to the forefront, that he actually took, and I'm not saying he started physical culture, because we know it started back in the days of the Greeks and the Romans. But he brought it back into popularity during a period of time where civilization and civilized individuals didn't think this stuff was important, which in and of itself was a big undertaking. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
He's Carl Lenore.
The brainless people at the FDA need to be convinced that arsenic is not good for humans to consume, because the FDA feels a little bit more research needs to be done before we're considered that this particular arsenic is dangerous.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the superhuman nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a fit and fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hard and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, we'll be talking to Dr. Hamilton Staple. Is this the end of the paleo movement? Are there signs out there that paleo is coming to an end? We will discuss that and more. Right now, we're talking with David Waller about his book, The Perfect Man, The Muscular Life and Times of Eugene Sandow, who quite frankly gave birth to Bernard McFadden. Bernard McFadden's first magazine called Physical Culture was borrowed directly from Eugene Sandow's publication that occurred 10 years earlier. And quite frankly, Bernard McFadden's popularity rose at the same time that Eugene Sandow was finding all of these problems and pitfalls in his own business life. And so it could be said that without Bernard Eugene Sandow, there would have been no Bernard McFadden. You think that's a true statement, what I just said, David?
Yeah, well, I think it's more than true, because McFadden was working at the Chicago World Exposition in August 1893 when he saw Sandow do his act. Mm-hmm. And I think he was doing something quite humble. He was like a janitor or something. He wasn't doing anything. He hadn't really made it at that point, but he saw Sandow and he thought, well, look, I ought to do something like that myself. And he modeled his own business practices precisely on Sandow, as you say. And what that meant down the line was that although Sandow was very successful in the U.S., he came back from his U.S. tour with $250,000 of cash.
Wow.
In his bank account, which is pretty amazing for a guy who wasn't yet 30. This would have been in 1897. And he used that money to set up his business empire in the U.K. But this empire was based on the British Empire rather than America. So I think, in a way, McFadden took the West, and Sandow had the UK and India and Australia and New Zealand, and he built a more or less global franchise based on mail order and the magazine and his books and his supplements.
Did Sandow have a son? Did he have any male children?
No, he had two daughters. He never had a son.
So the name did not carry on. The lineage did not carry on, unfortunately.
No, I mentioned that he's a relation of mine. He's not a blood relation of mine. But he does have – there are great-grandchildren around who are they have inherited some of his physical characteristics.
Really?
Amazingly.
Have you met them yourself?
Yeah, well, my distant cousin Chris, for example, is a former international squash champion. So he's a natural athlete, and he's also a juggler. So he has inherited some of the dexterity
and hand-eye coordination. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
What were the Tono Bungay years that you write about in your book? What was that?
Well, the Tono Bungay years, that's a good question. That is the name of a novel by H.G. Wells, and the novel is about a bunch of people who decide to become business people, businessmen, marketing a kind of a soft drink, an elixir, if you like, to the general public in the UK. And in essence, they make a lot of money through dubious marketing tactics.
Snake oil salesmen, as we call them here in the United States.
Exactly, yeah. And this novel describes how these entrepreneurs make a fortune as snake oil salesmen. And I think there was a phase in Sandow's life when he'd stopped performing. So this was in the early 1900s. And he'd become an out-and-out businessman. He had his mail-order business. He had his branded exercise equipment business, so you could buy Sandow dumbbells and various other contraptions. But then he went into food supplements. I've mentioned this before, sort of embrocation. And then he moved into chocolate powder, which is where he ultimately came unstuck. And I think you can see him at this point, there was the sort of core of sincerity. There was a core of truth, which was his commitment to physical culture. But I think that at this point, he had become a bit of a snake oil salesman himself.
And you know what? And let's be honest. He was only human, right? We're taking this person, we're putting them up on a pedestal. He was walking the same journey that any of us walk in this life, and coming to a point in his life where he perhaps was met with a lot of disappointment and things had not played out the way he had hoped. And so, you know, you have opportunities that come up and you think to yourself, oh, what the hell? And so, you know, everybody in their lives, we cannot judge is my point. We can't judge what he was going through at that time and whether or not it was really snake oil sales as we think of it. Because a lot of things from yesteryear that was seen as bad medicine, so to speak, have played out today to be good medicine. One in point, physical culture. I mean, Sandow said basically in his actions and his deeds that exercise could improve the human condition no matter what the human condition was. No matter where you start, you can go in the right direction through exercise. We know this is true. Today, the scientific community is proving that exercise mitigates the symptoms of depression better than drugs, has the ability to reverse cancers. I mean, the list is unbelievable. In fact, during the King Henry, and please, I do not act like I know the history of England that well, but I think it was King Henry the Eighth, right? He was the one that married twice and started the new church there, right? That's King Henry the Eighth.
That's right. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
During some period of the plague, when everybody was drinking mercury, he decided exercise. When he thought he was getting sick, he would get up and he would run for hours at a time, and he didn't get sick while everybody else around them was getting sick. So clearly, the linkage between exercise and health has been around for a very, very long time. And all Sandow did was bring it back in to popularity. It was popular back in the Roman days. It was popular back in the Greek days, but then modern society abandoned these things and said, oh, you know, we know better. We have medicine now. We don't need that stuff. And he just repopularized it.
The one thing I would say is that the context of this was extremely important. It was the time when the British Empire was at its apogee. It was at its peak, at its height. And along in 1899, 1900, we went to war with the Boer population in what is now South Africa. And this conflict was a national humiliation for Great Britain. This is the greatest empire that the world has ever seen, was nearly brought to its knees by these farmers on South African soil. And one of the reasons, this caused a huge national anxiety. And one of the reasons that was established in the various inquiries, one of the reasons was the poor physical health of the general population. And, it's a fact that up to half the people who volunteered for the British Army at this stage, it was a very patriotic era, huge numbers of people put themselves forward, but half of them were rejected because they were physically unfit. And this was particularly true in the great kind of working centres of Great Britain, so kind of Manchester, but also in the East End of London. And, you know, Sandow came along to the government and said, look, if you follow my regime, very simple exercise regime, I can help you. I can help individuals become fitter. I can help the nation become fitter. Fit to rule was his slogan at this point. Make Britain fit to rule.
I love
really
it.
Interesting.
What were the 20 exercises? Can you just rattle them off that were the core of his exercise protocol?
Yeah, I think there were 18 actually. In fact, and they were documented in his book Strength and How to Obtain It. And you had to hold his spring-loaded dumbbells. And these dumbbells, by the way, you could buy in different shapes and sizes, different levels of different price points. So there was a kind of gentleman's dumbbell which had leather handles, or you could have a working man's dumbbell. I mean, you could have a lady's dumbbell, you could have a baby's dumbbell. But the point was, you had these dumbbells. You squeeze the dumbbell to give you extra concentration, and then in essence, you do small number of reps. So these weigh about 2.5 pounds, so they're not heavy, but you're doing reps. So you're, I don't know quite how you describe it, you're moving your arms up and down, you're moving up and above your shoulder.
You're moving your arms, but also, interestingly enough, you had to increase your grip strength because the springs were pushing back against your hands.
Yeah, and you're doing strides forwards and backwards, you're doing lunges, you're doing things out to the side. You know, as you can see, I'm not really an expert in the details of the exercise, but I did follow this regime. This is what I tried, and it was very, very effective. I mean, almost too effective. You get a huge amount of impact from 20 or 30 minutes of exercise with these dumbbells every day. You know, and again, that was his great pitch. We think of ourselves as a culture that we're overworked, we don't have any free time, we're commuting. He was appealing to precisely the same constituency more than
as we have today. I know. Yeah. It's not the point. Nothing got any better.
It was for working men to practice and do these, and it was mainly men, but working men to do these exercises in their own homes.
I love it. And I'm sure that a generation were impacted by him, because we know that physical culture is still very popular in the UK. We have a large audience in the UK that listens to this show via the podcast and the live stream. And we know that Australia was influenced by him, and there's a strong physical culture civilization there as well. I mean, it's just amazing. It all started with Eugene Sandow.
Sandow went to Australia in, when was it, 1903, 1902 and 1903. And he made a huge impact on physical culture there, because, believe it or not, I mean, we think of Australia now as a great sporting nation, but in those days they were very much under the shadow of, you know, the home country, Great Britain.
Right.
And Sandow came along and he taught people to be proud of their physique and, you know, be proud of, you know, early beach culture.
Right.
And sports and people talked to him, and he was very celebrated in Australia and in New Zealand. I mean, he helped these countries redefine their own sense of nationality.
We really owe Eugene Sandow so much more than anybody has ever paid attention to, when you think about it. I mean, we really do.
Yeah. Look, I couldn't agree with you more, Carl. I mean, he was a hugely famous figure for very good reasons, and it's very strange how, you know, once someone has stopped being a celebrity, it's very hard to make them a celebrity again.
Yeah. Here's what I want to do. I want to take our last commercial break. He died at 58 years old. I want to talk about his death when we come back. We're talking right now with David Waller. The book is The Perfect Man, The Muscular Life and Times of Eugene Sandow. The best way to obtain this book is to go to the website victorianstrongman.com. There's a link out from there where you can purchase the book. In the United States, in the UK, in Australia, in Canada, wherever you are, you can purchase this book, and you should purchase this book. This should be one of those books that you have. It's kind of like people who follow religion have a Bible, and people who follow physical culture should have this book. They should understand how physical culture became reindoctrinated into society today after they tried to wipe it out because we were more civilized now. And we know what civilization has contributed to us, illness, obesity, and everything that's wrong with us today has come with the whole civilization process, and we need to re-embrace physical culture once again. And the man who brought physical culture back into popularity back in the late 1800s was Eugene Sandow. You should know everything about him so that when you talk to your friends, you can show that you're just not somebody who lifts weights, but you lift weights with a purpose that began long before your journey started. Check it out. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Throw away those muscle-building rag mags and listen to real health information you can trust.
So right now what's trending is like resistance exercise, CrossFit. So he's like, well, I'm going to write an article that will make all of those people go, what? There are people out there who are trying to convince themselves that heavy resistance training is not good for you. They want to be substantiated by why they don't go into the gym and do any kind of work. In order for you to get rhabdomyolysis, you have to be an extremely well-trained athlete who pushes your body beyond the point of no return. And even then, you may not get rhabdo.
Only on Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
They couldn't get rhabdo if I said, get rhabdo and I'll give you $1 million.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage. And it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. Whey Natural USA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. Whey Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Right process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. Whey Natural USA.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com. today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
A special offer from Rob Regish for Blueprint Power Hour listeners. Purchase 1 year of the Blueprint Bulletin and get the Blueprint 3.0 ebook for free. The first 100 subscribers will receive the Superhuman University Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course and another surprise bonus when you order. Go to the BlueprintBulletin.com today or click the Blueprint banner ad on SuperhumanRadio.com and get on the road to Gainesville in the fast lane.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Don't forget, at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Dr. Hamilton Staple to talk about, is this the end of paleo? Right now, David Waller is with us talking about his book, The Perfect Man, The Muscular Life and Times of Eugene Sandow. This book is around $15 on the internet. Everybody should buy this book. I'm serious. It's a fantastic book, and it's a book that you should have, because you should know why we do the things we do today. Eugene Sandow died at my estimation, about 58 years old. Is that right?
That's right. Yep.
That seems pretty young for a guy who was setting the pace for physical perfection. Was there an accident? What happened to him?
Well, again, this was part of the scandal, a potential scandal around his life. He died officially of something called an aortic aneurysm, so something not far away from a heart attack. And there was a story put about that he'd been involved in a motor accident some months before he died, and he'd actually lifted an automobile out of a ditch. And as a result of this, he had ruptured himself.
Sure.
And that's not impossible. It's not impossible. But there was also a rumor that he died of syphilis, which is obviously a very unpleasant disease. And the symptoms are not inconsistent with that. But they're not proof of that. So it's one of those, it's a mystery. I mean, but at the long and short of it is, he was very young for a man who had been so fit. And it was not without comment at the time that someone who'd been this kind of paragon of fitness and health and beauty should have passed away so early.
Well, it would seem to me that it would satisfy the medical orthodoxy. They could say, see, he didn't really know what he was talking about. He didn't even fare very well himself.
Well, exactly. You know, George Bernard Shaw, the famous playwright, he was one of the celebrities of the time who'd met Sandow, and he'd never taken up the exercise regime. He preferred to be unhealthy. And he sort of said, you know, rather sarcastically when he heard about Sandow's death, you know, I am alive, but he is dead. And this proves that the pen is mightier than the dumbbell. How about that? Wasn't very charitable, was it?
That's funny. That is funny. Well, obviously, Jack LaLanne reversed that mentality when Jack was still swimming boats around the harbor at 90 years old. So, so it would seem to me that there would be a greater degree of plausibility to the syphilis story and why he may have been, you know, buried in an unmarked grave. And because let's face it, syphilis was a terrible thing to die from, but it was also a great embarrassment for those, especially a family man who's married.
Yeah, no, it's consistent with what happened. You know, again, the only problem is, I would love to have found some definitive proof, and you know, there are no medical certificates available, and the doctor who treated him was very respectable. He was also the king's doctor. We've talked about his connection with the royal family, but the physician was the physician to the royal family. And was a man of great respectability who gave this verdict. But you're right. I mean, you know, if he had died of syphilis, this would have been precisely the kind of thing that his widow and daughters would have wanted to distance themselves from.
Yeah, and that would make perfect sense. And you know, an aortic rupture or an aortic aneurysm is not uncommon in people who undergo strenuous weight training, because the aorta undergoes a great deal of pressure. Back pressure from the vasculature and pressure from the heart trying to push blood through. So that yeah. You know, it's also believable that he, you know, he attempted to lift the car and maybe gave himself this, so to speak, weakening in the aorta that caught up with him. It's really interesting. It's sad. It's sad because I have my own selfish reasons for feeling sad about this, and that is we fight so hard. Within the physical culture community to convey to people that exercise is one of the prescriptions for longevity and health. And then when something like this happens, not that this happened recently, but there's things that happen even modern day today where people go, oh, see, exercise didn't help that or, and so on. And so, for selfish reasons, I feel like, gee, I wish he would have lived to be 90 in an era when people were dying younger. And then we could have said, look, see, it really does work. And so that's my own selfish reason for feeling bad about his passing at such a young age.
Well, I think, you know, I think we all feel a degree of, how can I put it, sympathy for his fate. I mean, you know, as you said earlier, he was a superman, but he was also an everyman. I mean, you know, what happened to him happens to all of us in the sense you do grow old and you get less fit, obviously, and then ultimately you pass away. And he was someone who in his early years had very much held out the hope of something better for us all, you know, a long and healthy life. And, you know, and even in his early 50s, I mean, I'm at that age now, but if you look at his picture, the pictures of him, he did look fantastic.
Yeah.
So it's not as though he kind of lost his looks or his fitness. It was something that happened very very quickly at the end.
Yeah, very, very sad. How long ago did you publish this book?
It's been out about 18 months now.
How is it being received?
Well, it got some fantastic reviews, actually. It was nice to be reviewed in the UK press. Obviously, the space for reviews of books has gone down as the publishing industry, as the newspaper industry has its own problems.
Right.
But it got some great five-star reviews in national newspapers. It's been bought in bulk by one of the big supermarket groups who packaged it up along with a pair of inflatable dumbbells. How about that?
Oh, how funny, yeah.
So yeah, it was a Father's Day present early in the year. So you know, it sold a good few thousand copies over here, which is pretty exceptional actually.
The Kindle version is under $5. I think that's pretty cool for those of you who have your Kindles or electronic book reading devices. You can get it for under $5. The paperback is around $15. Are there some really good pictures in here too? By the way, of Eugene Sandow, for those of you who want to see some of his posing pictures. There's some really, really great pictures in here as well. Have you been contacted by any of the new organizations that seem to be pioneering or trying to re-pioneer physical culture, about your book?
The answer is no, to be honest. I've been contacted by, a variety of people who, remember him, and people who knew him, but, not from any modern physical culture movement, to be honest.
People who knew him that are still alive, you mean people who knew him or people who
I had letters from ladies who remembered their fathers doing the exercises, 60 or 70 years ago. There are a lot of people who his name actually still says something. And
it's interesting because here in the United States, and I think I mentioned this to you off the air, the Mr. Olympia competition, which is the crown jewel of bodybuilding, but now has pretty much been displaced by the Arnold Classic.
Yeah.
But the Mr. Olympia competition, and I actually had Dan, I'm going to forget these names now. I had some of the guys who were around back then on my show many years ago.
Yeah.
To talk about how they came up with because the original trophy for the Mr. Olympia was not the figure of Eugene Sandow, but someone had gotten a trophy of Eugene Sandow, and then they had recast it and made it. And today, the trophy that you win at the Mr. Olympia competition is that picture of Eugene Sandow with the one, the barbell on one end where he's holding the barbell. One corner is like by his foot, the other, and he's holding it out away from his body. And he's in his perfect level of musculature. That is actually the statue given as a trophy to the top bodybuilder in the world. And a lot of guys don't even know that that's Eugene Sandow and who he is. They just think that that's the statue they give away for the IFBB crown jewel of bodybuilding.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Schwarzenegger won that a couple of times, didn't he?
Oh, eight times, I think. Seven. He has won it more than any other athlete, from what I understand, I think. And Ronnie Coleman is number two, or maybe Ronnie Coleman beat him. I forget how it went, but seven or eight times each of them. Yeah, yeah. But I'm sure Arnold knew who Sandow was because Arnold was from Austria, and I have the feeling that he knew. But I know that there's a lot of other bodybuilders out there who don't know that that's Eugene Sandow on that statue, or what Eugene Sandow's contribution to their sport even was, which is sad.
I have to tell you a story of that statue. I saw a two-thirds full-length, life-size version of that statue in a showroom in the window in Bond Street in London about a year ago. I was just walking down the street and there it was. And I went in and it had just been sold. But there it was, a kind of two-thirds life-size statue of Sandow wearing a fig leaf and holding that dumbbell, holding the barbell rather. And it had just been sold for a very large amount of money.
So some
people still cherish his memory.
That's wonderful. I just hope they know who he is. Listen, I want to thank you for the effort to write this book. I think it's a fantastic contribution. It's an important contribution. And I just hope that more people buy the book and read it. So, because, I believe that a person lives until their memory dies, not until they die. I'm a strong believer in this. In fact, I'm betting on it. I believe a person lives until their memory dies. And it's important not to let the memory of Eugene Sandow die. And so I think everybody should buy this book, let your son read the book, let your friends read the book, and let as many people read the book so they understand who Eugene Sandow was and what his contribution to physical fitness is today. It really is. It started with him. So
thank you so much, Carl.
Thank you, David. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we'll be joined by Dr. Hamilton Staple, and we're going to talk about the paleo movement. Is it coming to an end? Woe is me, woe is me. We'll be right back.
Carl Lenore.
The FDA has exceeded all of its previous levels of being sinister and corrupt by trying to poison this country by forcing us to eat genetically modified foods without knowing they're GMO foods, while trying to obstruct our access to natural foods that are grown right in our hometown.
Empowering the people and telling it like it is.
They're corrupt, they're sinister, they're disgusting. And we're never going to have a politician with any real chutzpah to stop the FDA. That's the sad part. So we have to stop them ourselves. By the pressure has to push back. Keep supporting your family farm.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable, but finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Extreme Formulations is the only company with a dairy protein product with a disclosed 50% whey to 50% micellar casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It comes in 9 amazing flavors, including the newest lemon pie and butterscotch. Get free shipping on any order size inside the USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ultra Peptide 2.0 banner ad now. Canadian listeners can also get free shipping on 2 or more jugs of Ultra Peptide 2.0. Don't wait too long because this special won't last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
The best fat loss patch just got better. Now the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat? Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. Is it possible the paleo movement is actually the movement itself is changing? We know that. But it could it be coming to an end? I don't know about that. But we're going to discuss this with Dr. Hamilton Staple. How you doing, Dr. Staple?
I'm doing great. How are you, Carl?
Fantastic. And we had a chance to sit in to one of Dr. Staple's lectures at the Ancestral Health Symposium this year, which really is the discussion we're going to have now and explore a little bit further. When you did this lecture, The End of Paleo, were you trying to get people's attention, or are there really any hallmarks that would indicate that the paleo movement is actually run its course?
What I was primarily trying to do was to start a conversation. To start a conversation about where the paleo movement is going, or what we might call the ancestral health movement. And I think this is something that folks are not thinking about. Over the past few years, the paleo movement has grown dramatically, remarkably. There's no question about that. The number of books, the number of websites, more and more people joining. I ran an online survey earlier in the year to look at how many people are joining and how, when they join and what they do. And something like 85% of the people who practice the paleo lifestyle started this within the past 3 years. 85%, that's a remarkably high number. So clearly things are growing. But what I was concerned about was that people inside the ancestral health movement, they were taking this growth for granted. Just because it's been growing over the past couple of years doesn't mean this can continue to grow at the same rate into the future. And my argument is that I think paleo is going to continue to grow modestly, but I don't think it's going to become mainstream. And I think, obviously, the ancestral health movement has a lot to offer. And I think we need to be thinking as a community about where we are and where we need to go to reach more people.
Well, okay, so let's talk about this for a second. The first time I had you on the show, we actually talked about the similarities between the physical culture movement of the late 18, early 1900s, and the paleo movement of today. And we talked about how back then everybody thought the physical culture movement, namely Bernard McFadden and obviously Eugene Sandow and all of those predecessors, thought that the physical culture movement was going to change the way the nation survived and thrived. And it never, ever, I would venture to say, saying it never hit its peak is actually an embellishment. I would say that it never even took its initial steps to reaching a peak because people just didn't get with the program. And we talked about the similarities of that on the first interview that you and I did with the paleo movement today. So as a continuation of that discussion, is there any evidence that paleo can even become mainstream? Or is it one of those things that it's never going to be mainstream because the mainstream is the antithesis of what paleo is?
I think this is a very important question. As things stand right now, I don't think paleo will go mainstream. And I think there are three major reasons for this. And we can talk about these over the course of the interview. And there are cultural reasons. There are physiological reasons. And I think there are social reasons. And if you add all these up, I think there are significant obstacles to getting a large number of folks on board. You know, your connection to the physical culture movement, I think, is very important and very interesting. Obviously, the physical culture movement, in a big way, faded away. And it faded away largely in the 1920s and 1930s for, I think, a series of a complicated series of reasons. One has to do with the invention of penicillin and giving the mainstream medical community more legitimacy or more interest in what they might have to offer. There's also the rise of fascism in Europe, where many times the physical culture movement was associated with the rise of fascism. I don't think there's the physical culture movement, of course, didn't lead to fascism, but certain fascist parties saw some aspects of the physical culture movement as useful. In addition, I think the third reason why the physical culture movement faded away was the growing power of professional organizations like the American Medical Association, which Bernard McFadden sued many times because he claimed they were gaining a monopoly on health care. He didn't think that was fair. How could one group or one approach to health claim to be the only legitimate source of information and healing?
Boy, he must be spinning in his grave today. So, but anyway, yeah, and you know what else too? You know, I'm a big fan of old literature. I love to read Dashiell Hammett. You know, I love to read books about the early 1900s. And one of the things that we find in the human condition that has been around since recorded history is the human penchant to enjoy things that alter the state of consciousness and reality, such as, you know, before recreational drugs became a controlled item, you could buy things like laudanum, you could buy benzedrine inhalers, you could buy cocaine, you could buy morphine. Well, not morphine, that came out after heroin became the problem. But my point is that we have been a society worldwide of humans who love to get stoned, whether it's alcohol, whether it's opiates, whether whatever it is. We think that is our reward for hard work and success. Now we can get stoned out of our minds all the time. And that is the complete antithesis to anything healthy, physical culture, paleo, whatever.
I agree. Maybe we can understand that self-medication is a kind of escape from the difficulties and the realities of life. This was definitely the case 100 years ago with industrialization and urbanization and all the problems that came along with that. The really amazing, remarkable transformation of European and American society from a rural agrarian society to a industrialized urban society.
In fact, Dr. Staple, could this not be the earliest signs that we were entering into a deeper world of being mismatched with our environment, that we had to stay stoned so often because it just didn't feel right?
Absolutely. And the increase of alcoholism in Europe and England, we know from the data especially, was just skyrocketed during this time. Absolutely skyrocketed. Alcoholism was a very significant and difficult problem for public health authorities to treat among the working classes. And this affected adults, men and women, and also children across the board. And to transition to today, I think we see in some ways a similar kind of thing with the desire to escape or to look for a sense of understanding or to deal with our very difficult world today. Now, the difficulties are different. We're not facing the Industrial Revolution today. We're facing the Digital Revolution. And with that comes a whole new set of problems, a feeling of alienation, isolation, this whole world of virtual friends, lack of face-to-face communication, the automation of careers and daily activities. And I think both the physical culture movement and the paleo movement of today are both fundamentally responses to this rapid social, technological, and economic change.
But couldn't one say that where turning to self-medication is the wrong response, or let's say a less desirable, unacceptable response, that physical culture and the paleo movement would be a more desirable or even a corrective response?
Exactly, and I think that's exactly where both of these movements come from. Both movements seek to return to nature in a stressful and disorienting world. Both movements give people a sense of autonomy, of control. They provide the sense of, or the satisfaction of exercising one's own body, of being engaged with others, and comparing and noting improvement. And these, I think, are really powerful things that ground individuals. And both the physical culture movement and the ancestral health movement do that.
Interesting. Here's what I want to do. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to get back on track with the lecture that you performed at the Ancestral Health Symposium. I want to give you an opportunity to reach out to the audience. For those of you who are having your own get-togethers, whether it be some sort of a lecture or so on, you can actually have Dr. Staple come and speak to your group. How would people reach you, Dr. Staple?
Sure. The best way to reach me is through my departmental website. I teach at SUNY New Paltz, NEWPALTZ, and you can find my email address there. The spelling of my name is pretty unique. You type my name into Google, and all my information comes up, and you can easily contact me.
and it's S-T-A-P-P-E-L-L. No, is it one P? I'm sorry. What did I do wrong here? S-T-A-P-E-L-L. I'm sorry.
There yeah, one P. That's correct.
That's it. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Carl Lenore.
I want to live longer. I want to be stronger. I want to be healthier. And I want everybody to come along.
Calling out the daytime television quacks.
I want to see Dr. Oz do those things in the gym. He's out there telling people how to be stronger, be healthier, look better, live longer. Let's see him put himself to the test. Let's see any of these people do the things that we do in this audience here.
Motivating the people.
We are the true superhuman.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Livon Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Are you still putting toxic toothpastes in your mouth? Still brushing with sodium lauryl sulfate, which is related to canker sores and gum recession? You've heard a lot of people in the Superhuman Nation talk about how much they love Aura MD. Carl and Elisa won't brush with anything else. Now get a free bottle of Aura MD and see what all the excitement's about. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aura MD banner ad today. You cover shipping and we'll give you a free bottle for first-time customers only. What are you waiting for? The best toothpaste alternative is just a click away.
People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. Whey Natural USA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. Whey Natural USA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Right process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. Whey Natural USA.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable, but finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I'm proud to say that I have been involved in ancestral nutrition since around 2005. So I am not one of the newcomers. In fact, we didn't call it paleo back then. And we did refer to it as a more ancestral way of eating. So that kind of makes me feel good. So we see this explosion almost over the course of the past 3 years. But how big is the paleo community? Have you ever tried to put a number on it?
Wow, that's a great question, and I think that's something that that the movement really needs to know. And that's actually a difficult number to find out. In order to do that in an academic way, you would need a nationwide survey, something like a national telephone survey, to get a sense of exactly how many people are practicing, you know, paleo lifestyle. In the absence of, and that's of course a very expensive thing to run. In the absence of that, I've tried to estimate the current size of the movement by collecting data, book sales, podcast plays, web page views. I've also spoken to a number of the different folks involved in the ancestral health movement. And the number that I've come up with is somewhere between 1 and 3 million people in the United States.
This is very insignificant, isn't it?
It is, especially when you consider that the national population is 310 million. So if you take the high end of my estimate, 3 million folks, 3 million people, that gives you approximately 1% of the population in the United States.
Wow, that's kind of disheartening, to be honest with you. I always thought it was more than that. You know, well, here's the interesting thing, though. This is a very devoted group of people. So while they may be few in numbers, they're very, very strong in opinions. Because when you look at websites, let's say Alexa scores of websites that promote paleo books, paleo blogs, and so on, the traffic to these websites is amazing. Yet it's probably the same, you know, 1 million people going to each of these websites.
I think that's exactly correct. And I think this has to do with the kind of person that goes paleo. And this was part of my talk in Atlanta at AHS 13. The idea that there's really two kinds of people who go paleo, who embrace an ancestral health lifestyle. The first type of person is someone who's suffered from some kind of health problem that conventional medicine hasn't been able to treat.
Mm-hmm.
And they seek out an alternative. In this case, for example, paleo lifestyle, which tends to treat many of our diseases of civilization quite effectively. The other type of person is the person who's seeking performance, mental performance, physical performance, athletic performance, and they're looking to get the edge. They're looking to really maximize what they're doing. And I think in many ways the paleo movement today allows them to do that, helps them get closer to their goals. And what do these two groups have in common? I think the key commonality here is a high level of intrinsic or internal motivation.
Mm-hmm.
So the folks who go paleo, because frankly, it takes some effort, right? It takes some effort to eat this way and go to bed early and to manage your stress and to exercise. It does take some effort. And those people are motivated to do that, to make the change, which is hard, and then stick with it, which might even be harder. It's one thing to switch. It's another thing to maintain that lifestyle into the future through time. So those folks you see on the websites and listening to the podcast, I think you're exactly right. They are the same folks, and they're out there. They're trying to learn more. They go to the conferences. They read the books. They buy all the new books. And you can definitely, they make themselves known within the community.
Okay, and then you also point out some of the obstacles to the whole process as well. And the one that I was floored by, when we were at the Ancestral Health Symposium, we all broke off into different groups at different times to kind of talk. And so I was sitting in a group, and I forget what they were talking about, but there's one young lady who was there who had flown in from, I forget where, out on the West Coast, who was looking for answers for a Latino community, said, look, the Latinos are not going to give up their rice and their maize. And you could tell them all day long that grains are bad for them. They're not going to give up their grains. And, you know, and I thought to myself, wow, this is so true. I mean, I was willing to give up pasta because I saw pasta as less important than my health and longevity. I guess these other individuals don't see a clear line between what they eat and their health and longevity. Because I can't imagine that people, well, that's not true. People still smoke cigarettes. I take that back. I was just about to say, I can't imagine people would ignore, if they understood the linkage between health and longevity, that their pasta, their grain-based foods are hurting them. But then look at the number of people who are new smokers every day, knowing that it's going to cause cancer. It's really perplexing. It's like, and maybe the answer is we should be saying within the paleo community, who cares if no one else wants to do this? We should just hunker down and kind of build a wall around ourselves and maybe almost make it a club that you have to get into and maybe more people who want to get in then.
Right. I think you touched on a lot of really important points there. Maybe I'll start.
Please.
With what you just said. You know, I think part of the popularity or the what's enticing about the paleo movement is because, in some ways, what you just said, because it seems exclusive, it feels exclusive, it feels like folks have a kind of secret handshake, and they're really excited about that. I gave a talk at Paleo FX in Austin back in March, and during the question and answer part of the presentation, I had a woman stand up, and she said, I have this quote here. I rewatched the video and copied down what she said because I thought it was so important. And what she said was, quote, part of the thing I like about paleo is that it's a closed community and that it's kind of exclusive. I dig that. And I think she really touched on something there, that people are attracted to this because it is different, because there's a sense of it setting you apart from the mainstream, from the rest of America. And I think that's another difficulty that the ancestral health movement will have to overcome. Because when you go from being something on the margins of society and exclusive to something being mainstream, that really changes what that movement is about. So I think that's another aspect that has to be dealt with. To touch on your point about grains and the connection to tradition and different communities and identity, this is what I would argue is one of these significant cultural obstacles. And the fact is that Neolithic foods, grains, dairy, legume, they are deeply woven into the fabric of our society. It's no exaggeration to say that civilization, period, was built on Neolithic foods. Right? It was grains and legumes and dairy that allowed for civilizations to develop and to expand, to get increasing specialization of labor and social hierarchy. Civilization was built on grain. There's no other way of saying it. There's no getting around that. And to think that we can all of a sudden step away from that and all the cultural traditions that are associated with that, I don't think that's so easy to do. We could talk about the importance of bread within Christianity. The Lord's Prayer says, give us this day our daily bread.
Well, in fact, what's his name now? Pat Robertson just came out recently. We talked about him on a casual Friday 2 weeks ago and said that it's against the Bible and against God to cut carbs out of your diet. I mean, keep in mind that his analogy was weak and made no sense. You know, when he said, oh, well, if you cut the carbs out, you'll end up with clinkers. That was his physiological linkage to a low-carb diet. You end up with clinkers in your body. But and that's what I said. Well, think about it. I mean, give us this our daily bread. That is, like, right in the scripture. So, clearly, in religious terms, those who are devoted to the Bible and religion, carbs are a necessary part of the human condition.
Right. Or look at matzah. Within a Jewish tradition of Passover, or rice in Asian cultures. And you already mentioned corn and
maize, yeah,
and,
right.
Maize as well in Latin America. These are deeply woven cultural traditions which are tied to identity, which are tied to religion, which are tied to an individual sense of place and family and heritage and ethnicity. These are very, very hard bonds to break.
I want to take a break. I've got lots more good questions. If you would like to have Dr. Hamilton Staple speak at one of your upcoming get-togethers, you can go to the newpulse.edu website and just search for him, Dr. Hamilton Staple, S-T-A-P-E-L-L, and reach out to him there and bring him to your function and let him speak to your group, especially if it's a church group. Just from what we just talked about, I think those who use religious doctrine to support consumption of foods that we know are not healthy. You know what? There's got to be some logic put into it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000 plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is,
and send the military in there. We need to bomb Merck because they killed 55,000 Americans knowing that they were going to kill 55,000 Americans.
On Superhuman Radio.
Where is the outrage about that?
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. H-Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Hamilton Staple. We're talking about the paleo movement or ancestral health movement, which I like better, the name of, actually, at least. So what about part three of your lecture where you talk about... aren't things different this time? What could even be different this time? I mean, clearly, we've seen movements similar to this before. We see how they play out. Maybe we should be doing things differently. And I'm really rethinking this. I got to tell you something. One of my greatest frustrations is that my show hasn't gained the amount of popularity that I would like to see it. I mean, we have over 1 million downloads a month, so that is nothing to be ashamed of. But I keep expecting to be contacted by some mainstream TV show to be interviewed, and it doesn't happen. And so I had this discussion actually with Ron Pena from Quest Nutrition recently. Maybe I should start embracing the fact that I am not mainstream and that we are a club, and I don't want everybody in this club, and maybe we need to be more selective who we let in.
I don't have a good answer to that question. I think it's, I definitely understand your frustration. I know there are many people out there in the ancestral health movement who also feel that frustration. I'm not sure what the solution is to any of these problems. In a lot of ways, my training and my job is to analyze social movements as a historian. That's what I do. I look at how things develop, why they became like they did, and what kind of where they might be headed, sort of applied to the present and look to the future. So, I don't feel like I have the toolkit to provide the solutions. I feel like the best thing that I can do is to examine what's going on today and try to understand where we are. In terms of your point about this time being different, I think this is an excellent question or a very important idea. I often hear, talking about the paleo movement today, that this time is different. The physical culture movement may have faded away, but the ancestral health movement, it's definitely here to stay. And the reason that people typically cite for that is social media and the internet and technology. So folks typically say something like this. They say, paleo is not going to fade away because the internet today can reach everyone in the world, that we can educate everyone. And through social media and Twitter and Tumblr, folks can get the message. And this goes back to what you were saying actually before the last break, that education, you're talking about smoking, education is not the same thing as behavior change.
Right.
But just because someone learns about the ancestral health lifestyle, that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to embrace it or stick with it. So education is not the only piece there. Education does not lead to behavior change. I think it's actually much more complicated than that. We know from some sociological and psychological research, it's a more complicated equation. So it's education plus motivation plus ability plus the correct triggers equals behavior change. And that's a much more complicated equation to get folks to change their behavior.
There's also apparently a financial barrier. When we look at the income levels of the people who tend to embrace the ancestral lifestyle and physical culture in general, we find that aside from education and a desire to change behavior, they have the wherewithal to do so. These are individuals that, by and large, earn, you know, upwards of what the average American earns. Sometimes an average of $100,000 a year and above. And I learned this, from the study I bought in 2008 from Packaged Facts called the Fit Consumer Study that showed that fit consumers who on average go to the gym at least three times a week and also participate in a sport whenever possible, they control the largest amount of household income of any subset of the population. $2.2 trillion. And so we know that these individuals are financially far above the average American. And I got into the whole chicken and egg thing for a while. Well, are these people making more money because they understand the importance of that you get from training, actually, you know, which is, you know, the discipline to do something and deferred gratification for the results, and they apply those same tenets to their business life? Or are they better business people because they're healthier and so on? But the bottom line is this is a group of people that, by and large, makes a bit more money than the average American. Isn't that correct?
That's absolutely correct. In the survey I ran back in March, we saw something very, very similar to that. So, for example, 41% of respondents earn $100,000 or more per year, 41% of folks in the paleo movement. The national average is only 15%. So that's 2.5 times the national average. That's remarkable. And we see the same thing in terms of education. About 2.5 times more paleo folks have a bachelor's degree or higher than the national population. So we see high levels of income, high levels of education. The other interesting piece here is the piece of race. So 92% of the folks who took the survey were white. And this is compared to only about 70% of the United States. So far, there's a question about why are so many people in the movement white? Is it tied to income and education, which we know from other studies that there's often a link between those two things? And if the community wants to reach out to other groups of society, how do we do that? How do we increase diversity within the movement? The United States is getting more and more culturally and racially diverse. And this doesn't bode well, I think, for the ancestral health movement, which is predominantly, as I said, 92% white.
And see, this is a frustration of mine, because I approach this whole phenomenon from the standpoint of wanting to contribute to the overall health of this country, to make the country a better place. If we can get people healthy, there are so many burdens that would be lifted off this country. It's ridiculous. We can actually become the fine nation that we once were and that we deserve to be. And I've actually had Con Santori Davison, who is a blogger, on the show. And we've talked about the fact that if we're going to have any impact in this country on health, it is the unindoctrinated, who are basically those in the food deserts, who just happen to also be part of the racial divide of Latino, African-Americans, and so on, who need to be taught this message. They need to hear this message. They need to adopt this message if we're going to really change the health quotient of this country. And that in and of itself is a huge undertaking, and no one is helping. In other words, it's not like you could go to your politician and say, hey, we want to start holding seminars, because we've actually tried this from the show. We tried to reach out in a small way, you know, and say, hey, we want to start doing these seminars. We want to go into Detroit. We want to go into the inner cities of Brooklyn and so on, and we want to start doing these seminars. And the problem you run into, first of all, is that the paleo movement is basically considered a fringe movement and does not adhere to the Registered Dietetic Association's model for food. And right there and then, nobody within political power is going to endorse it.
Correct. They don't want to touch you with a 10-foot pole.
It's really sad, because I've used this analogy before. My audience has heard it before, but when I was a kid, I'm 55 years old, they used to have this black and white cartoon. It was just music and no words, and it was always a cat chasing a mouse. And the cat is in the boat, and the mouse pulls the cork out of the bottom of the boat, and the cat starts bailing the water, but then the cat inevitably realizes his fate and looks into the camera and puts his hands up, and the boat sinks. And that's where our nation is right now. The water coming into the boat is the ever-growing audience of ill people in this country. And the boat is the healthcare system. And the healthcare system cannot support the water that it's taking on. And the politicians are busy arguing about whether we should bail with the left hand or the right hand. But nobody's saying, wait a minute, why are we taking on water? Why don't we plug the hole first? And then we can worry about bailing what water is left behind. And we're never going to make a change here in this country until we can have that discussion and address that. And the politicians are not willing to do it. And I got to say something. They're really not willing to do it now that the government is going to be a healthcare payee. Because it's not in this government's best interest now to make everybody well and go, hey, we don't need healthcare anymore, because they're depending on that money to come in. Because think about this. Health insurance companies operate on a profit system that's based on this. You pay $10 premium. They only spend $5 making people well. So that means $5 is kept as profit. This government's going to do the same thing. It's not going to be a break-even analysis for them. What they're going to do is, the money that would normally be dividends paid to stockholders, they're just going to use for other areas, that they need money for, fixing roads and other legislative issues that they want to fund. So it's not like as though healthcare is going to be cheaper. They're just going to take the profits and use it internally of the government to pay for other things. So there's no vested interest in this government finally coming out and going, you know what, we were wrong for subsidizing grain and corn. It's making you sick. We're getting our money out of it. No, they need you to be sick now.
I think the level of frustration that you're feeling is echoed by many within the ancestral health movement. And this is why I think people turn to the paleo movement to begin with, because they're so frustrated with the current healthcare system. They're so frustrated with the current political situation. They're so frustrated with certain aspects of our culture and society that they're really looking for some kind of alternative. And the ancestral health community provides this alternative. It provides a set of ideas and values that allows people to feel like they have control over their lives, that they can control their health outcomes, they can feel more healthy. They don't always have to rely on their primary care physician to do it. I think that the feeling of empowerment that often comes from assuming a paleo lifestyle is really important and really remarkable. And I think this is why people get turned on to it and stick with it, because it provides a space, an alternative to everything you just talked about.
Yeah. Let's take our last commercial break. I've got a couple more questions for you. We're talking right now with Dr. Hamilton Staple. If you'd like Dr. Staple to come and speak at one of your events, go to newpaltz.edu and search for Hamilton, S-T-A-P-E-L-L. Reach out to him. He amazing lecture that he put on at AHS 13. He can do it for your event as well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Highlighting the hypocrisy in government, one meal at a time.
The USDA and the FDA going after small family farms. They're telling these farmers that by selling direct to end users like you and I, because they're outside the jurisdiction of the USDA and the FDA, the USDA says it's dangerous to be buying from these farmers. Really? And we're all thriving buying from these farmers, but the USDA and the FDA said, no, you're wrong. You may not think you're that because you're not getting sick that something's wrong, but we know there's something wrong.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Extreme Formulations is the only company with a dairy protein product with a disclosed 50% whey to 50% micellar casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It comes in 9 amazing flavors, including the newest lemon pie and butterscotch. Get free shipping on any order size inside the USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ultra Peptide 2.0 banner ad now. Canadian listeners can also get free shipping on 2 or more jugs of Ultra Peptide 2.0. Don't wait too long because this special won't last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Are you still putting toxic toothpastes in your mouth? Still brushing with sodium lauryl sulfate, which is related to canker sores and gum recession? You've heard a lot of people in the Superhuman Nation talk about how much they love Aura MD. Carl and Elisa won't brush with anything else. Now get a free bottle of Aura MD and see what all the excitement's about. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aura MD banner ad today. You cover shipping and we'll give you a free bottle for first-time customers only. What are you waiting for? The best toothpaste alternative is just a click away.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
A special offer from Rob Regish for Blueprint Power Hour listeners. Purchase 1 year of the Blueprint Bulletin and get the Blueprint 3.0 ebook for free. The first 100 subscribers will receive the Superhuman University Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course and another surprise bonus when you order. Go to the BlueprintBulletin.com today or click the Blueprint banner ad on SuperhumanRadio.com and get on the road to Gainesville in the fast lane.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Hamilton Staple. We're talking about the state of the paleo or ancestral health movement. There's another phenomenon that takes place that kind of diminishes the effectiveness of ancestral health. And quite frankly, that's the from idiots like the Wizard of Oz and his ilk who like to poke fun at ancestral health and the caveman diet, lock people up in cages at zoos and stuff like that, to try to actually diminish the importance of this phenomenon, which really affects more of the mainstream than you think. Wouldn't you agree with that, Dr. Stable?
Absolutely. Dr. Oz has a huge audience, a huge number of people turn to him and listen to him for advice. It is a fact that the paleo community or paleo lifestyle is often viewed really critically within the mainstream press, and we get a certain stereotype that comes out of this, the stereotype that the average paleo person is male and young and which
is actually the opposite. They're female and they're older.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what we found from the survey we ran back in March. We had 4,000 respondents, so this was a really robust sample size. 4,000 people. I mean, for an online survey, this is really a remarkable survey size. And 56% of the respondents were female, so clearly more women than men. The mean age was 38 years old. 38 years old. That's middle age. These are not young men that are doing this. These are middle-aged, I would say, Gen Xers, Generation Xers,
right,
who are looking for some kind of alternative because they're getting older, because they're sick, because they're frustrated with the current healthcare system, and they want to get better. They want to take control of their lives. They want to take control of their health, and this is one way of doing that.
Well, and then the other side of it is, so then Dr. Oz decides to exploit the paleo movement. We were supposed to, we actually had invited Dr. David Perlmutter to be on the show, but then we retracted the invitation because I heard that he was named the paleo expert for the Dr. Oz show. And first of all, Dr. Perlmutter is not a paleo expert. If anybody should have been offered that job, it should have been Dr. Lauren Cordain, quite frankly, or if he turned it down, Rob Wolf. Okay.
Right.
But Perlmutter wrote a book called Grain Brain, just recounting things that we've been talking about on this show and that people like this podcast have been talking about for the past 8, 9, 10 years now. And so he comes to the forefront and all of a sudden he's heralded as this genius. And Oz says, hey, we want you to be our paleo expert. You know, you're going to be our paleo go-to guy. He's not paleo. He's not an ancestral health guy.
He's not, but he does have a remarkable resume in terms of his research, his being MD, his education, he was publishing articles at something like 19 years old. Really, really remarkable resume. And I think that means something to people in the mainstream, to people like Dr. Oz.
Then Lauren Cordain enters the stage. I mean, they should have offered Lauren Cordain to be on. My God, Lauren's CV reads like a who's who of ancestral health. I mean, the guy was there when it started.
This is true. I agree with you, Carl.
But you know why Lauren wouldn't do it, and Dr. Oz wouldn't offer Lauren the opportunity? Because Lauren would be a staunch advocate for true paleo, and Oz needs somebody that he can manipulate and say, well, we don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about this instead. And so they can tweak the message to fit the show. And that's really why Perlmutter is going to be chosen for that position. And I'm sorry. That's the truth. Hate me. You know, I know I'll never be on the Dr. Oz show, and I don't want to be. But I mean, that's the God's honest truth.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, okay. I don't want to ruin your chances of being on the show.
Okay?
so please take a step back now. And you had nothing to do with that.
Let me jump in.
Please.
Let me say to your listeners that I'm happy to hear from and to talk to anyone. And I have no financial interest in this. I don't collect a speaking fee. I'm interested in talking about my research and talking about the physical culture movement and talking about the recent survey we ran with the ancestral health movement. So again, I don't have any financial stake, and I would love to hear from folks who agree with me, who disagree with me. I'd like to very much try to foster this conversation about where we are and where we're going in the future.
And I think that's wonderful. Okay. So in summary, where is the paleo movement and where will it go? Is it going to fizzle? Is it going to stay where it is, or will it grow?
I think we're going to see modest growth over time. And this is not something I spoke about in Atlanta at AHS 13, but if you go to Google Trends and you type in paleo diet, you can see from about 2010 to 2013, there was this really remarkable increase. But what I didn't talk about in Atlanta back in August was that if you look at from January of this year, from January 2013, there has been a steep drop-off. steep drop-off in terms of searching and interest in the paleo diet. And maybe that's a temporary blip down. I don't think so. I think things today work in waves, and there are fads. And when I was in Atlanta, I heard a New York publisher talking about how, you know, paleo is so, you know, 2011, that paleo is not hip today. It was hip a few years ago, but it's passe today. And unfortunately, I think that might be the situation that we're facing. So I think it really works for a lot of people. I think there are going to be people who are continue to be devoted to it, but I don't think we're going to see the rapid growth that we have seen over the past 3 years.
Yeah, I'm looking at those stats right now. That's kind of that's kind of disappointing, to be honest with you. I mean, it's really has dropped off. Especially October of 2013, it continues to drop.
Yeah, in fact, the line has gotten steeper down. Yes, absolutely. It's really gone down. And if you compare the trend line, this is something that I talked a little bit about in Atlanta. If you compare paleo diet to cupcakes, for example, over the past 3 years, cupcakes are way more popular, right? Or if you type in vegan diet, so you kind of think of oftentimes paleo as being opposed to veganism. Well, veganism is orders of magnitude more popular than the paleo diet.
But you know what else? The other problem. But okay, so and that's exactly my point. The mainstream embraces the vegan diet. They promote the vegan diet, meatless Mondays, and you know everybody's promoting the vegan diet, which goes hand in hand with this whole notion that in order to feed the world, we need Frankenfood. I mean, it's clear there is an agenda at work here. And wait a minute, you're kidding. The agenda has more money and more force and is having more results than we are. Yeah, that's what's happening here. I just hope that people don't turn their back on the value of the paleo or ancestral health movement. Is there in history a movement that started out like this that actually finally did hit its stride?
I think in many ways a good example of that is Christianity. So the notion of Christianity was in the beginning a small kind of mystery cult in the corner of the Mediterranean on the periphery of the Roman Empire, and this really original, radical, new idea about how to see the world and a new set of values that challenged the traditional Greco-Roman value system. It started out with a few people, with one man, and it grew into a dominant world religion. That's a pretty remarkable story of something going from the margins of society to eventually becoming mainstream.
It took about 300 years. But Dr. Staple, here we have it. Here's what we need to do. The manifesto for the furtherment of paleo. Rob Wolf and you guys, we need to buy some ships, some rabid dogs, some conquistadors. We need to start going to islands and telling people eat paleo will kill you. Because that's what they did to promote Christianity. I mean, the dog days of summer, the term the dog days of summer is because the Spanish king sent ships to islands. They went on the islands. They told people to take on Christianity. If they denied it, they turned dogs loose on the island. They killed everybody on the island and they went on. So, I mean, Christianity did well because it was either become Christian or die. So we have to use that approach in paleo, I guess. I'm being facetious, obviously.
I know. And I wish I knew the answer to the solution to these problems. I feel like that's above my pay grade, right? Like I can analyze where we've been and where we are.
Yeah, but don't ask me to tell you how to fix it.
it's not my set of tools. There was a presenter just after me in Atlanta, however, who did speak about this, and maybe this is someone your listeners would be interested in hearing from, or you would be interested in talking to. And this is Adele Hitt, who spoke about just after I spoke about how where we might go or how we might move the movement forward.
Interestingly enough, July of 2013, trending wise on Google, paleo hit its peak. July of 2013. I wonder what happened in July of 2013.
This year, there was a reversal of its downturn.
Yeah, so it peaked. It started to really dip really really fast, and it bottomed out at June of 2013. And then July of 2013, it actually spiked again and exceeded all of its previous peak periods of interest. And now it's back down. It's on its way down now. September it dropped, and October it's dropping even faster. So it's just, I wonder what happened in July of 2013.
Perhaps that was the run-up to the
AHS.
In the beginning of August.
Yeah, I bet that's right. Either that or I got to see if we did any paleo shows on Super. No, I'm not kidding around.
That was it.
Well, listen, it's always a great discussion. I love to pontificate about this stuff, but the reality is it's important discussion because we, for those of us who really feel that there's a way to change the world, those who, I guess I'm starting to realize that maybe I need to reevaluate my mission from I want to help change the world to I want to help change the part of the world that wants to change.
Right. And this has been Rob Wolf's approach, that to spend the time and effort on the people who are ready to change.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Let me also say that the slides from my talk are available on slideshare.com. So the videos from the conference haven't been posted yet, but if folks want to see all my slides from the talk that we've been speaking about today, they can go on slideshare.com and see my slides.
What do they search for? Just your name or?
If you put in Hamilton Staple SlideShare, the SlideShare website has all the PowerPoint slides from all of the presenters, including from my talk.
Excellent. Listen, thanks so much for being on the show today, Dr. Staple.
Carl, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Take care. And, of course, if you would like to have Dr. Hamilton Staple speak at your event, go to the website NewPaltz, N-E-W-P-A-L-T-Z.edu, and search for Dr. Hamilton Staple, S-T-A-P-E-L-L. Also want to thank, who was my first guest? Isn't this terrible? David Waller. The book is The Perfect Man, The Muscular Life and Times of Eugene Sandow. You can get that by going to his website, which is VictorianStrongman.com. VictorianStrongman.com. Great website. Check it out. We'll see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio, and thank you for listening today.
There's something comforting about knowing he's out there.
Government is in place because it assumes that people are too stupid to care for themselves.
By your side.
Government has to take up the parental role of teaching people what to do.
Fighting the good fight.
Government has to get out of people's pantries, first of all. They can't legislate health.
He's Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.